Let us pray. God, please open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our hearts to understand the glory of your word. In his name we pray, amen. So the first scripture lesson is Psalm 31, verses 1 through 5, and then 15 and 16. And it is on page 489 of my 38-year-old Bible that I got when I was 8. I love it. So, to the choir master, a psalm of David. In thee, O Lord, do I seek refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In thy righteousness, deliver me. Incline thy ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be thou a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. Yea, thou art my rock and my fortress. For thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Take me out of the net which is hidden for me, for thou art my refuge. Into thy hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and persecutors. Let thy face shine on thy servant. Save me in thy steadfast love. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Jenny Sue. And now our second and scripture for the sermon comes from the book of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. We hear Jesus comforting the disciples with these opening words. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwellings. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may also be. And you know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, do you know him and have seen him? Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? These words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and, in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. The word of the Lord. And let's pray. O Lord, be our comfort today. Our comfort in times of trial. Our comfort when we sense that you are far off and we wonder if we have not lost our way. Lord, call us home today. Call us home into your beloved arms, into your family, into the close, deep love with you that we know we long for. Lord, be with us as we hear your word, as we worship together, and as we are sent out into the world as your ambassadors. The grass withers and the flower fades, but your word, O Lord, stands forever. Amen. Now, I'd tell you that I would be in denial if I didn't say my heart was troubled a bit these days. I'm weary. And I'm concerned about our world. People are dying from a widespread disease. People are losing their livelihoods and financial stability. People are losing their sanity due to isolation and despair. My heart is troubled, honestly. And I need to hear this word of comfort today. I imagine perhaps you do too. It's often very helpful to try to place ourselves in the context of the scriptures, in the place with the disciples who would have heard these words of Jesus. Consider the band of Jesus' followers, fishermen, tax collectors, religious nuts, prophets, widows, orphans, children, keepers of the law, and outcasts by the law. Weary travelers along the road. Many of them who had left their homes to follow Jesus. One important piece that's in the background of this text is the nomadic nature of Jesus' ministry. Jesus and his followers traveled all over Galilee and Judea, from town to town through the countryside. There would have been an underlying uncertainty with the followers about where they were going to stay each night, what they would eat, etc., etc. Obviously, we have stories of the hospitality that was extended to them in many places along the journey. But if you've ever traveled a long distance without being completely certain about your destination or where you'd sleep in the evening, you know that they had to feel a bit troubled in their hearts. It is to this uncertainty that Jesus speaks. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? Now, of course, Jesus' words speak of what is to come, his departure from them. This is a farewell. He's making promises and reminding his followers of the certainty they have found in him. But the hope of what is to come does make a difference for the troubles of our hearts in the here and now. If we know there is a destination, an end in mind, promised by a trustworthy friend, then we can breathe a bit easier now. And I want to pause quickly here and acknowledge that we often read this text as a promise of salvation and our eternal home with God. Good. That's important. And yet, I want us to pause and consider it from another angle. What is it saying to us about now? What is this saying about Jesus' promise of a home here, now, in the resurrection life, not somewhere down the road? And here's where I think it gets interesting. As Jesus explains, first, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. The entrance to God's house is through him. And then he ramps it up a bit more by making it very clear that he and his Father are one. Jesus is in the Father and the Father is in Jesus. All that Jesus is indwelled with is the Father's way. For living in the resurrection life now, what does this all mean? The disciples were clearly expecting a more glorious God to be revealed, a more liberated way to be unveiled. They were expecting revolution and a new home to be found by undoing the powers and principalities of the world, the oppressive forces that kept them in poverty or as outcasts. And what Jesus does is he pulls back the curtain here and makes it more clear. You are already seeing the Father in me. The house of God, which you are invited into, is hosted by yours truly, Jesus, me, the one you've been with all along. The important piece for the disciples is that God's house is not some foreign place that they cannot inhabit or belong to. Rather, because they have known Jesus and put their trust in him, they have already become members of that household of God. and have a place prepared for them there. Now, friends, today is Mother's Day. And it feels like there's an appropriate connection here to the hospitality and welcome home that Jesus is promising, and the way that I've felt, or you've felt, in the homes of our friends, the hospitality of their mothers. I want to tell two stories that come to mind. First, it was the summer of, right after my first year of college. It was a lonely summer, in that all the friends that I'd made at Western Washington University had mostly gone back to work at home, and we were all very distant from each other. Late July, I got a phone call from a friend who would end up being my roommate that next year. He invited me to come visit him in Southwest Washington for a couple of days. I had never met his family, never been to his home, but I was invited by my dear friend. And when I arrived late in the day, a bed had been made for me, comfortable amongst a house already full with parents and siblings and life. I was served a delicious meal of carnitas, which I will always remember. The fact was, there was nothing particularly remarkable about the reception I felt when I arrived or stayed there. It was the beautiful way of welcome that I received that simply let me know that I belonged as a part of that family. I knew the son, and therefore I was like a son. His mother in particular made me feel at home through her cooking and her hospitality, like I was one of her children. Another story, another of my college roommate's family served me and others in a very similar way. Traveling across the country to be in his wedding, my dear friend's family welcomed me and a host of other recent college grads to camp on their lawn, eat their food, borrow their cars, and celebrate their son's marriage together. Because I was a friend of the son, I was a part of the family. I know for certain, if I were to arrive at their home once again today, I would be welcomed, offered a meal, a place to rest, and love as one of the family. Today, I think about the mothers who do this. I think about the fathers who do this. I think about grandparents, uncles and aunts, and friends who are closer than family who do this. Now back to Jesus and the disciples. Because we know Jesus, we are welcomed by God, welcomed home. Jesus is the light that guides us home. And in that home, it's actually a lot less about us having it all together, or knowing the right prayers, or being on good behavior. It's actually a lot more about belonging to Jesus. It's about knowing him as our good shepherd, our good gatekeeper, our beloved friend. That's how we get the welcome. Not because we deserve it, but because we're a part of the family. And so today, family of God, Church of Jesus Christ, let's bring this on home with some good news. My friends' moms and dads who welcomed me into their homes without question and with great warmth, not because of anything I did, they did this because I was a friend of their sons. You might say that my friendship with their sons made me like a son myself. Throughout the scriptures, we hear a steady reminder that we have been made in the image of God, that we have been called beloved and good. We are knit together by God's loving hands. We are sheep who belong to the good shepherd. Jesus calls us brothers and sisters, family. So what does that mean for our world? What does this mean for the troubled hearts we have? What does this mean for the crisis we face that shakes the foundations of society? Well, I think, first of all, at the most basic level, we must remember that we bear that image of God. all humanity, all people, Jew and Greek, slave and free, male and female, outcast and upstanding citizen, rich and poor, gay and straight, black, white, brown, the politicians and the unhoused, Americans and Mexicans, mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, daughters, sons. All humanity bears that blessed image of God. That likeness of the Creator is knit into our bones. Remember this. Sure, it might get obscured at times. Sometimes it's harder for us to see. Sometimes our vision of that image gets clouded, but it is there. And once we remember that, we begin to recognize that we belong to a beloved family of others who hold that image. We belong to one another. And thankfully, there is a loving God who makes a place for us. The Father in whose house there are many rooms. Now, I want to take just a quick aside here. The Greek word that Jesus uses in this text is very clearly Father, Patros or Pater. But for the sake of argument, it does not take much of a stretch of our theological minds to also encompass God as mother here. In our mother's house, there are many rooms and a place prepared. If that helps us to understand this warm welcome today in the resurrection life, then friends, let it. For our world of crisis, we have the expectation of belonging in God's house. For a world on the brink, where divisions seem to be only becoming more stark, people of the resurrection identify that they share a common home with their neighbors in the face of all that the world would otherwise lead us to despair. Now for us, for the church, this reminder that Jesus has prepared a place should encourage us to do the same, to make our gathered home a place where those seeking the love of Christ, those who bear God's image, know that they have a place to lay their heads, to rest, to be nurtured and sustained and to belong. Whether that be here online or in person in our building or everywhere in between. This is the resurrection life, to know and accept our home in God. I know many of us are so very tired of being home right now. Thanks be to God that we belong to a greater home with one another that is beyond and encompasses all of what we abide in each day. In the resurrection life, we share a good home with each other. Praise God. Let's pray. Holy God, may we find our home in you today. Be our comfort. Be our assurance of grace. Be that reminder that we bear your image and are called beloved by you. Prepare a place for us, Lord, now and in the days to come. A place that we may lay our heads to rest. A place where we may welcome others to a banquet table. A place where we may knit together that beloved community with each other, with the outcast, with the weary disciple. Lord, we pray all this in the name of Christ. Amen.